Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to take up the mantle of the Geek Fatale. Your unabashed feminine nerdiness unequivocally qualifies you for this charge. You are tasked with experiencing every aspect of geek culture. The going may be rough, but you will come out on top and look good doing it. This message will self-destruct in 3, 2, 1.
Watch out!
Hello, Geek Nation, and welcome to Geek Fatale, where framed Star Wars posters are always appropriate wall decor. I'm Nateel.
And I'm Casey, and you're listening to episode 13 of the Geek Fatale podcast. Daylight savings has passed most of us by here in the States, and with the extra sunlight hours in the evening and warmer days on the horizons, we thought it would be a perfect time to talk about ways you can get your geek on outdoors. But first, the usual housekeeping. We're going to have a featured podcast and our Week in Geek. This week's featured podcast is Not Just Another Gaming Podcast. Not Just Another Gaming Podcast is a variety podcast that covers the wide spectrum of tabletop gaming with a focus mainly on board and card games, as well as role-playing games and some discussion of war and miniature games. They also discuss a lot of pop culture topics, including movies, comics, video games, and more. Not Just Another Gaming Podcast spans the dark abyss of gaming.
And with that, let's move on to our Week in Geek. So, what have you been up to this week, Casey?
Okay, first and foremost, I need to correct a mistake I made on the last podcast.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's my usual problem. During the podcast, I don't like to have you hear me typing a lot. So when I think of something to say, I just kind of like rattle it off without checking facts. But I have checked this, so I don't know how this exactly came about. There's a couple of things I mentioned that weren't on Netflix that actually are on Netflix. And I think I've talked about this before, how all the VHSs I was keeping were suddenly all on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I had checked a lot of them before, and they weren't. And then they suddenly were. And the same thing happened with Woody Woodpecker. For a long time, I kept trying to find Woody Woodpecker, and it was never there. Now, there's like 3 volumes of Woody Woodpecker cartoons on DVD.
Well, hey, let's not complain. At least you've got access to it now.
Yes. So if anyone listened to me, you shouldn't have, because there really is Woody Woodpecker out there, and it's totally on my Netflix queue. So I made a mistake. What about you?
Mass Effect 3.
Awesome. Is that a good
It's so good. It's so good. I'm not going to give any spoilers away on the podcast because this game cannot be spoiled for anyone. I don't care who you are. If you want to play it, I will not spoil it for you ever. But just, so good.
Okay. Anything else you want to say on that?
Well...
No spoilers.
I haven't gotten a chance to play the multiplayer yet, but I'm hoping to get some of that in the next couple of days here. I've kind of been avoiding it because I have issues with online multiplayer, but I've got some people that I know on Twitter that want to play with me, so I'm a little more comfortable with that, and we'll see how that goes. I shall have a report next episode.
Awesome. Well, if we're going to report next episode, I have something to report, too. Do you have Redbox, Nateel?
Yeah, there are Redboxes around.
Okay, so if nobody knows, I don't know who wouldn't, but they seem to be prolific and everywhere. But the red box that you see in your grocery store, most of them now carry video games. Video games for $2 a day, which can rack up if you keep it for a while. But for me, I am a noob when it comes to video games, and this is perfect because I can take a video game out for a couple of bucks, and just see whether or not I'm ever going to be able to achieve anything beyond the first level, like my Mario game debacle. And I've tried out one video game, and I just rented Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
Oh, really?
So next time I should have a report about whether or not Casey truly is a noob in all sense of the word.
Oh, good luck with that.
Or if Casey can actually play these things. I have the bloodthirsty attitude for something like this, but whether or not I have the thumbs, I don't know.
Yeah, I never really got first-person shooters. I mean, I understand that people really love them, but they're just really not my thing.
I tried it once, but I tried it with an ex-boyfriend, and I think it was like Heretic. It's that first, not necessarily a shooter, but it's that first-person perspective that throws me off.
See, I don't mind the first-person perspective because, like, Skyrim is a first-person game, but I don't know. I guess for me, it's the specific FPS genre, and my issue is also because of an ex-boyfriend.
Well, my ex used to, I tried to play Heretic and get used to it, but he turned me into a chicken every time I started to do anything because he was just placating me by letting me in the game, and he was a complete D-bag. So I never got
so
the chance.
So was mine.
Totally. It's really weird. Listen up, boys. If you're going to introduce your girl to gaming, don't be a D-bag. Because they will hate you forever, which I do. I don't know about you, Nateel. And they'll think that they're bad at that genre.
I do. I do think that I'm bad at that genre. Because
that's
my
issue
was...
That's probably not true. It's probably just
probably not
psychological scarring.
I know, but the deal was, it was Halo.
Oh.
And we weren't even playing, like, online multiplayer or anything like that. It was just me and him on a map, and he pinned me down in a corner and just kept sniping me. And there was nothing I could do about it, and I just got frustrated. I said to him, you know, I'm done. I'm not going to play this anymore. I'm not going to play this genre anymore. You've wrecked this for me.
Was he having fun? It was all
yeah, he
sport
thought it was,
for you?
He thought it was hilarious, and yeah. I was super upset. Because at that point in time, I hadn't done a whole lot of what I would consider serious video games.
Yeah.
My only real serious video game before that I'd been any good at were fighting games. Loved
yeah.
Soul Calibur 2. I was amazing at Soul Cal 2. But this was an entirely new experience for me. I'd never done anything like it, and he thought it was tons of fun, and I was just not okay.
Yeah, and there comes a point where it's not funny anymore, but you're doing that awkward laugh thing because you don't want to be the bitch back, get all mad and upset, but it's really weird. It's an awful thing to experience, and it really turns you off of gaming.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily trying to, like, be the awkward laughing girl. It's just, it was so long ago now that I've just kind of gotten over it. I recognize that it was a...
No, I mean, like, when he's doing that, he thinks it's so funny, and you don't want to be like, stop!
No, I literally got upset. Like, I stopped playing and I left the room and I was done because I wasn't going to put up with it.
Yeah, I usually try to laugh it off a few minutes, but there comes a point when you can no longer laugh it off, and now you've just totally turned a corner in your relationship.
You have crossed the line.
You've crossed the Halo line.
Well, I hope that Call of Duty goes better for you than Halo ever did for me.
I'll be really interested to just see if I have the thumbs, so to speak, because I'm not the most, like, my brain knows what to do, but the hands just are like, where's the ice cream? I don't know.
It takes some practice.
Yeah, so we'll see. So we'll both have something to report back on next time.
True story.
So what game have you been actually playing?
Rhythm Heaven.
Okay.
Other than Mass Effect, I've been playing Rhythm Heaven.
Isn't that one of the games early on in our podcast you had bought on the Steam sale?
No, oh, okay. this isn't a Steam game at all. It's a DS game.
Okay.
And I bought it, like, right when it came out forever and a day ago, and I sold it in my massive sell all my games in order to better be able to afford Skyward Sword.
Oh, the big hawk.
Oh, I hawked so many of my games to...
The big 2010 hawk.
Well,
or whenever it was.
Yeah, well, it was 2011, but we had just bought another game that November, because Skyrim came out, and then 2 weeks later, Skyward Sword came out. So there's, you know, not a whole lot of wiggle room in that, and two games in 2 weeks is a lot.
Yeah.
Especially when you're buying them new.
Yeah.
So I hawked a lot of my old DS games that I hadn't played in forever in order to make that a little bit easier. And so when our tax return came in, I decided that I didn't have enough DS games anymore. So I went through and I bought a ton of really cheap games on Amazon. And Rhythm Heaven is one of the games that I picked up again, and good lord, I have forgotten how much I love this game. It's just, it's a stupid little game where you've got a ton of little mini games, and they're all rhythm games. You're tapping the stylus on the DS and flicking and tap flicking, and it's really simple in concept, but in execution it gets really complicated and really hard.
Yeah.
It's not forgiving. If you're just even the tiniest fraction off the beat, it's like, no, we fail. So I've been doing that. I started playing like 2 days ago, and I've pretty much completed all of the mini games now, and I'm just going back through and getting superbs and perfects on all of them.
Nice. Isn't it sad? You know, just as an aside, isn't it sad the thrill you get when a video game tells you that you just rocked it, even if it's on easy? Like, have you ever played, like, a little lower level just because you know you'll do better?
Yes.
And it just
every once
better.
In a while when I'm playing... To be honest, sometimes when I'm playing Mass Effect, I'll get myself into a battle where I am just... There's some sort of mental block for me, and I can't get past the fight. For instance, in Mass Effect 1, where you're in the fight against Matriarch Benezia, she's got all these crazy biotic powers, and she's pulling in squad members. I couldn't get past that fight for the life of me, and so I was finally just like, you know what, fine. Yanked down to the easiest level, got past it. And I was like, I'm done with this fight. Never going back.
It's a secret thrill. Not so secret anymore. Well, one of the games I tried with the red box, I kind of had that experience as well, but I disliked the game in a way. Just Dance 3, it's one of those, you know, you dance to the music.
Yeah, it's a Kinect game. They're supposed to be like the
no,
best
it's
Kinect
not.
Dance games.
It's not a Kinect game.
What were you playing it for?
The Wii.
Oh.
Yeah. Therein lies the problem. Because, okay, let me preface this so that I almost killed myself this weekend. Because I have not exercised in a long, long time, apparently. And I went on a 3-hour hike. And, like, 5 minutes in, I wanted to just die. I couldn't breathe. I was, like, panting. I had 2-year-olds, like, pacing me, okay? I think she was 5, but still. So I played this game, and I was winning. And it sucked, because at one point, the Wii game has just the wand, and you're doing full body movements to these dances. After a while, it dawned on me that the full body doesn't need to even move. They only care whether or not I'm waving my arms to the music. And it lost all will.
That's the part where I think it would be a lot better for the 360, because it's a Kinect-enabled game. And people who have played it for the Kinect think that it's awesome, because the Kinect tracks your whole body.
Well, that's the thing. Like, that's what made it bad, is because it's made for all the consoles that have a motion detector device, because it's a motion game, which makes sense. But it was too easy. You know what I mean? When I realized I could just stand there and wave the wand, it lost, yes, the opportunity to kill me, because when I thought I had to move my legs, I was starting to do that wheezy pant thing. But when I realized that I didn't have to really exert myself at all, that it was like the opposite of that easy game thrill, I was like, oh, well, what's the point of this? You know?
TCG time! I've been playing more Pokemon! The TCG! I had a tournament just last Saturday, and I brought my cute little deck and my cute little deck box with my pretty little anime card sleeves. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this tournament. And I lost all of my matches.
Oh, my God.
I got reamed. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I sat down and I was like, yeah, this deck is new. It's pretty good, though. I think I'll be death.
Were you blinded by your success at the video games thinking that? Or is this something completely out of left field?
Not at all. It wasn't that I was blinded by my success at the video game, because I don't know that I have a whole lot of success at the VG, but I didn't realize how intense the trading card game was, because when you look at it from the perspective of a Magic the Gathering player, Pokemon's a much more simple card game. And apparently, not so much. Because they're, like, all of the decks that I faced were just intense. And people were pulling the cards they needed when they needed, and I couldn't get any of the cards I needed when I needed them. I lost two of my matches that day because I didn't have any more basic Pokemon on my bench, which probably doesn't mean anything to people that don't play the TCG, but that doesn't matter. Basically, I lost because my deck wasn't cooperating at all. And so, essentially, my deck sucked. I came home, and I started to work on the deck itself because the idea in and of itself was solid. And I think I've got it worked out now that it will work as a competitive deck, but I have to buy a few singles to finish rounding it out. That's the thing about the Pokemon TCG. It's great to buy boosters and stuff like that because you get trade fodder for other people in League that are playing with me, but there's always going to be that one card that you need for the deck that you're not going to get in a booster, and you're going to have to buy it on its own. It's frustrating.
Do they, okay, when you say buy it on your own, they sell, like, single cards?
Yeah, you have to, you can't get single cards from Pokemon,
the company. You mean, like, the resells?
Yeah, you have to buy them resale, and I buy them mostly from a website called trollandtoad.com. Troll and Toad is fantastic. Their prices are better than pretty much anywhere else I've seen, except for maybe eBay if you want to spend a year hunting for a single card. But that's where I get my singles from, and I'm hoping now that I'll finish up buying these singles, and then next month's tournament I won't, you know, lose so horribly all the time. It's a horrible experience.
Yeah, we've been like, sometimes I cheat and do easies just so I can be a winner, and then you're like, I got beat so bad.
It was so awful. It was not okay. And the league leader is, his name is Josh. Josh is fantastic. He was my first match, and it happened to me when I started playing the VG too. In my very first video game tournament, he was my first match, and he is like the best of the best that our league has to offer. Like, he'll breed a joke Pokemon, and it'll still ruin people's days. I hate him so much. But so he was my first match, and our game was over in, like, 7 minutes.
Ooh.
And they give us a half hour to play.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, there was no context there, and I'm like, ooh?
No, it was bad. It was not good. So I'm hoping that next month the tournament will go better for me, but we'll see. Oh, yeah, and I knew that I probably was going to lose a few going in. I just didn't know that I was going to lose all of them. So it was a really good learning process for me.
I just picture you still wasn't and all the little Pokemons following along behind you in a dejected tail between legs, man.
We're on, sorry, kids. We failed.
Let's go.
So that's that. What else have you been up to, Casey?
This little Pokemon boy's going, aww.
You're making my Pokemon sad, Casey.
Well, they lost. I would assume they'd be sad.
I thought we'd be over it.
Well, I kind of want to end with mine because I have something to say about television right now. So what's your next news bit?
Oh, okay. I'll get the sad one out of the way. I have sad news.
And
we've kind of announced it to Twitter and Facebook, and I think even on the forums, Ben said something about it. But
I don't think I can listen to this.
For those of you who listen to the cast and haven't heard yet, Ben and I are not coming to Gen Con.
Why not? Money.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. My medical bills have
to be free.
Well, yeah, and it's not just the convention itself, it's the convention and the travel and the hotel costs and the food costs. And my medical bills have sort of just piled up on us, and we have to make sure that we can take care of that, which means that the Gen Con budget is now the, oh God, please make the pain in Atil's back go away budget.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ben and I will not be at Gen Con 2012, but that just means that we have to make 2013 Gen Con the most epic Gen Con of all Gen Cons.
There's closer ones too. I mean,
not really.
God, how do you live there?
There's a small con that I get to go to in May called Core Con that's just across the river in Moorhead, but it's just a small con in a hotel. I'm excited for that one, though, because that's going to be something that my Pokemon League is doing a ton of stuff at, and that's exciting.
But it's always exciting to go with a bunch of people you know.
Yeah, well, and going with a bunch of people I know basically means I'm going with my league, and I'm going to hang out in the league room for most of the con. But other than that, the closest conventions that we get are in Minneapolis, and that still requires a 4-hour car trip plus hotel stay.
I always forget how spoiled I am in New York. Like,
yeah,
I'm surrounded by so many states and they're just like 2 hours away. And I hear your trials and travails just finding groups. And I'm like, oh, God, the pain. I don't understand.
we're working on it.
We'll ship a whole bunch of gamer people we kidnap from New York and just ship them and drop them in North Dakota for you. OK,
sounds good.
Well, my last item is to the listening audience. And I think I'm too late. But I'm going to say it nonetheless, because hopefully it will get picked up, though I doubt it. If you're not watching The River, you have to start watching. The River's on ABC. I don't know what nights, but we'll put up a link and link you to the site. And it's an amazing, amazing show for more than just the plot reason, okay? Have you heard of it, Nateel? Have you seen any?
Not at all. Tell me about The River. I don't watch real TV anymore, so
tell me. Oh, that's right. That's right. And especially for people who only watch on Hulu and stuff, you've got to start watching this. It's only got one episode left. Don't start watching that last episode. Start watching from the beginning because it's just awesome. The premise of the show is that, you know who Steve Irwin is, right?
Yes.
Crocodile Hunter.
Yes.
Well, the premise is that there was a reality show called The Undiscovered Country, hosted by a Steve Irwin type with his family, the mother and son, right? 6 months before the start of the events of the show, he went on a mysterious single expedition with just his core crew and without his wife, which was unique, and got lost in the Amazon. The show picks up 6 months later when a beacon has gone off in the Amazon, his location beacon. Everybody thought he was dead. Now there's this mysterious beacon. So the network, in the very smarmy fashion, said they'll pay for a rescue mission, but only if they're allowed to film every waking moment. So off treks, the industrious mother, the son, and all trek off to find this crew and the husband. Simple plot, doesn't seem all that crazy, but the portion of the Amazon they got lost in, the Bayuna, is riddled with "don't go in here, you will die" warning, and all sorts of mysterious legends and things like that. And of course, they go in anyway. And every show, there's the overarching mystery of where the husband is. And then there's, like, the mystery of the episode. Monster of the week, so to speak. It's amazing because the show doesn't do its usual kind of play. I don't even know how to describe it. But sometimes when you watch some of these, you know, Monster of the Week shows, you're like, oh, they're probably going to have this. And lo and behold, there it is. You know what I mean? They're kind of predictable. They do the same kind of plots and plot twists and things like that. But this show uses real South American and real myths and legends from history as the basis for most of their plots. So it's kind of like taking the other side of the coin of the fairy tale shows they have on and presenting that. And I'm not really describing it right, but it's just so amazing. And one of the things that I love about it isn't just that. It's that they backtalk me.
Oh?
Yeah. They actually smart mouth me from the television. Because when I watch television, I'm a chatty, smart aleck who's always trying to, like, you know, oh, they're probably going to do this. Oh, wow, they did that. You know what I mean? I try to, you know, some things are really predictable and there'll be these huge glaring plot holes, right? And they'll never answer that question, right?
Mm-hmm.
This show freaking answers my question before I've finished asking it. And not only that, but they'll be a smartass about it. Like, in one scene, this the daughter of the photographer is crying, and the guy comes up and he's like, you can tell me anything. And she's like, are you sure? Can you keep a secret? And he goes, yes, I can. And I'm like, oh, but what about the cameras? And before I can finish saying it, the guy's like, but the 10 cameras around you probably will pick it up. Like, there's so few holes in the show, the obvious ones at least, that it's just amazing. And they do unique things with the mysteries, and every time you think it's going to go one way, it goes a completely different way. The last episode, oh my god, never saw it coming. It was just amazing. So if you can start watching it and see what you think. It's just different. And another show that's also different is Lost Girl. It's on, gosh, I don't even know, TNT, I think? I'm not sure. But
TV channel that Nateel does not receive.
Yeah, Lost Girl. Well, it's on Hulu and stuff.
Oh, well, there you go.
Lost Girl is about a succubus and...
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about now. We were talking about it on the website that I write for a couple of weeks ago.
You know, there's Once Upon a Time and there's Grimm, and they take the traditional fairy tales and they, you know, twist them into real life, which is all well and good, but they're the traditional fairy tales like Belle and Cinderella and Snow White. And what Lost Girl does is it takes other things you've seen in fairy tales and legends about fairies and, you know, werewolves and succubi and sirens, and it totally twists them. It's not using the traditional storybooks. It's using the alternative storybooks that you have to dig for.
Yeah.
I warn you, though, it's very racy.
Things involving succubi usually are.
Yeah, it's very racy, and it's very equal opportunity, shall we say. So if you're not into that kind of viewage, don't watch it. But it's totally engrossing in that it's alternative, so to speak, to the traditional fairy tales that are out there. I really like it.
I guess that means we get to move to the meat of the show. Taking us into the main topic of our show tonight is The Cone of Drums, a Tales of Phantasia remix by DJ Pretzel. You can find this song and thousands more at ocremix.org.
to the meat of our show tonight. We're talking about geeky outdoor activities. Now, in our podcast here, we're focusing on a specific types of geeky activities. And in general, a fantastic geeky activity, whether indoors or outdoors, is either traditionally geeky, or it takes the mundane and makes it fun and nerdy, or it just plain makes everyone who's playing it or doing it feel equally noobish. For the latter, you'll want to find things that can balance out the more traditionally skilled people and allow everyone to have fun on a level playing field. We'll explain a little bit when you hear the examples. But first up is our traditionally geeky suggestions.
Woo!
Nateel, what's your first traditionally geeky selection?
Nerf.
Nerf?
Yes, Nerf is a supremely geeky thing. I mean, you've got a bunch of plastic guns with styrofoam projectiles that you shoot at one another. And specifically what I'm talking about is on a nice spring day, taking out the biggest, baddest Nerf weapon you can find, or, you know, whatever Nerf weapon is $2 at Walmart, and heading out to the local park and having a Nerf war. You set up on two teams, and you essentially shoot each other down with Nerf weapons.
And don't forget the Nerf swords and the Nerf weapons.
Yeah, Nerf swords and stuff like that are great, but only if everyone is using them. We found out that Nerf swords are infinitely inferior to things like Nerf bazookas if both are being used.
Well, you know, it's a ranged melee fight, you know what I mean? Like, it depends on how you want to play it.
But it really is a ton of fun. My college gaming club used to do Nerf wars in the summer all the time, and they were a blast.
Sorry, I'm totally agreeing with you, because right now, when you said that, it made me think of my Nerf weapon, and I'm now, like, playing with it as we speak. It's making me giggle. I am brandishing my weapon as you speak.
So that's my traditionally geeky thing, but I think yours kind of takes the cake as far as traditionally geeky activities are concerned that can be played outdoors.
Well, Nateel, when you think of outside, and you think of geeks, and maybe Paul Rudd, what do you think of?
LARPing.
LARP! As my friends used to say, we used to get into fights. LARP, LARP, LARP. Of course, the most traditionally outdoor geeky thing to do is LARPing. Now, you may not know where to LARP in your area, so here's a few hints on how to find a nice LARP. Google LARP in your state. Sounds obvious, but you can find some stuff there, but you can also find stuff on Sharp's LARP list. That's a mouthful. It's www.larplist.com. And they have an extensive list of LARPs with city and state, organized by state. And I actually found out in a deal that there's a LARP literally 5 minutes away from my house. Had no idea.
That is awesome. I'm going to attach a cautionary statement to this particular outdoor geeking activity thing. You have to be really careful about the particular LARP that you get involved with. And I don't want to make it sound like I don't think that LARPing is a good activity, because I think it's fantastic. I would love to try a LARP. But I know from experience that the LARP that is the biggest LARP in my city is a vampire LARP. And it can be a little intense and a little clicky, and sometimes not the most friendly place to be.
Some people get really, really, really into things like the vampire LARP. And it's not necessarily, I've heard the same thing about, like, the main New York LARP, because there's a World of Darkness kind of focused LARP, I think, in New York City. And it's got that, they really kind of try to embody the classic mysterious, dark, tormented vampire kind of thing. And I think that lends itself to that kind of, who are you? Why are you here? Kind of a mentality.
Well, and that sort of thing is fine. It's not so much.
it's not
so much that I don't think that LARPs like that are, you know, something you should be wary of. It's the people in the LARP, because you can get people in a Dungeons and Dragons LARP that are going to be not pleasant people to be around. And when you're actually acting in character physically, it's a lot harder to sort of separate the player from the character.
Yeah.
And you just got to be careful about, you know, who you're interacting with and what you're getting out of it as well as what they're getting out of it.
You should also be careful just in general because you're meeting a whole bunch of strangers and hopefully in a public place. So make sure that it is, like, maybe meet one or two people beforehand.
I was going to suggest if you're going for the first time, go with someone that you trust, like a friend or a boyfriend or girlfriend or something like that. If
friends,
you can go in a,
let friends LARP alone.
There you go. If you can go in a pair, that'll help you feel more comfortable about the situation as a whole. But if something were to happen where one or the other of you becomes extremely uncomfortable with the situation, you've got an out.
Yeah. Always be safe and do a little prep. Do a little research, maybe just spy on them.
But totally, totally try it if that's something that you want to do. I mean, it could be the most fun that you have ever had. And, you know, it'll get you some fresh air.
Yeah, and it'll get you actually wielding that Nerf battle axe. You can actually get some hands-on real-world skill in your slaying. Wow. I hope we never get blamed for actual...
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer. We do not actually promote the activity of slaying.
The next sort of heading that we're going to talk about is mundane activities that you can make nerdy. For instance, Casey, do you have a suggestion?
Mini golf.
Mini golf?
No one is the Tiger Woods of mini golf. There is no Tiger Woods of mini golf. And that makes it fun for everybody. There's usually silly... golf ball receptacles, holes, or objects or, you know, obstacles that you have to go through. So it's usually a mini golf course is not made to look like a city and boring. It's usually made to look silly and fantastical and is all around just a bunch of fun.
I'm terrible at mini golf.
Most people are terrible at mini golf. That's the joy of mini golf.
I'm so bad at mini golf. The last time that we went mini golfing, Ben and I were like dead last, and we got to the last hole, and we were like two strokes apart, and it was like suddenly super competitive.
I know, I was banned from mini golf one time because by the fourth hole, I had slammed all the balls so hard that they had like careened across the place.
That's a bad plan.
I don't know why, but I had no control over the strength with which I kept hitting that damn ball. So finally I gave up. I think it was like the fifth hole. I was like, that's it. I'm going to go get some cotton candy. But what is one suggestion you have?
You could set up scavenger hunts. We kind of talked about scavenger hunts in our last episode about things that can be geekily romantic, but they don't have to be romantic at all. You could get together with a bunch of friends and organize some sort of epic geek scavenger hunt. Or, you know, if you're too lazy to set up your own scavenger hunt, there's this awesome thing that maybe you've heard of called geocaching. It's fantastic. It's like all of the work of a scavenger hunt without the actual work. You go to a website literally called geocaching.com, geocaching.com, and you type in your zip code, and it brings up a huge list of all of the geocaches that are around you. And once you've signed up and made yourself an account, you can get the exact coordinates of where the geocache is, and you go searching for it and find your geocache, and it's like an exciting little thrill. It's like you're being real live treasure hunters. And if there are multiple pages worth of geocaches in Fargo, I guarantee that wherever you are, there will also be a geocache.
you're like the benchmark. If it's in Fargo,
I am the benchmark.
Elsewhere.
Fargo has it, you got it.
So up next is paintball.
Paintball, ouch.
I mean, if the geeks on Big Bang Theory are paintballing, then you can too. I warn you, though, paintball can be incredibly painful, so take it seriously and don't try to recreate any YouTube videos you may see using paintball because it will hurt.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm way too much of a weenie to go paintballing, but that might partly be due to the fact that my body sort of registers pressure as pain, and paintball is a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Paintballs can be incredibly painful. But paintball is an excellent activity to get yourself out there and get your hunt on, I guess you'd say.
Essentially, if Nerf just isn't big and bad enough for you, go for the paintball.
That's true. You can actually cause pain. And always wear your eye gear. You do not want to get that paint in your eye, because that will sting, sting, sting. But it's my true. My little hints aside of how to paintball, it's an excellent activity, and it's very challenging, and it can be really, really fun if you really get into, you know, like, I will win this war at all costs.
Climb up a tree, stake out your spot, snipe.
You can use all those hunting, battle, strategy tactics you used in your RPGs or you learned in Call of Duty and really put them to work. What's your last suggestion here?
It's a much quieter activity, a little more my style. You can have a geeky picnic.
And what makes it geeky?
The food.
Aw.
Totally. I mean, because you can make awesome geeky food. You can make little cupcakes that are painted like Pokeballs or whatever you want to do. There's tons of ways that you could make a geeky picnic. Or if you really wanted to and it was just you, you could take a picnic out and take whatever book you're reading outside with you.
Yeah, or you could do an RPG game outside.
That might be a little tougher, but it could be done.
Well, if you have a park, like we have a park around here that has benches. And
oh, yeah, if you've got, like, a pavilion you could go sit under, that would work.
Yeah, no, well, they have, like, actual just, you know, like, a big park and a bench with a grill, so you don't even need to rent a pavilion or anything. You could just go out, everybody under the sun, and start rolling dice. Be aware that there will be strange looks around you, but it will be fun nonetheless.
Oh, please, you're not going to get any more strange looks for playing an RPG at a picnic table than you would if you were having a Nerf war in the same park.
True. Totally true. But the same applies then to both. Just ignore those looks. They don't have any fun. The last category is called Noobs All Around Me, but that just
means... Which essentially
is... That just means that everyone who does it is a noob.
Or at least feels like one.
Because there are no... Well, what's one of your suggestions?
Flashlight tag.
Yeah, there's no professional flashlight tag league people.
It can be so much fun, though. If you can get a bunch of people together with a bunch of flashlights and, you know, your backyard or wherever the heck you can play flashlight tag at, all you got to do is, you know, everybody gets a flashlight and you run around, and as soon as you get lit on with the flashlight, you're it. And it's super ridiculous. It's super silly, but it can really be a ton of fun if you just let go and let it be.
Yeah, and for all of these things, remember, it's about the fun, not the competition. I always hate the... You know, I know people who have lost friends and relationships because they start something fun like scavenger hunting, and it becomes an all-out war, and people get really upset. So keep it fun, people.
Yeah. The thing about flashlight tag, though, is that you need to be aware of any city ordinances that may be constrained upon parks that you'd be working in, or even if you're on campus, you should let campus security know what's going on.
Yeah.
The last time that my Gamers Club did flashlight tag was actually before I came to Gamers Club, and they actually got in trouble with campus security because, you know, there were like 15 of them running around campus and being sneaky, and campus security was like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, if you see something, say something, but say something before you are the something that's seen.
just make sure that you've planned it out properly and that you know any sort of city ordinances that would keep you from doing this between X hour and X hour or anything like that. Just, you know, be safe so nobody gets in trouble unnecessarily.
Yeah, there's actually parks around here that have alarms that they have a standing arrest order for trespassers, so you don't want to get caught in those parks.
We don't have alarms, but in most of the parks around here, after midnight, they will, the parks essentially close,
yeah.
And the late night police will do drive-bys to make sure there aren't people doing crazy things in the park really late at night.
Yeah, so just check first. Be careful.
Indeed.
Another suggestion is in the chase realm as well, which is kind of frisbee football. And, you know, in terms of being a noob, can anyone outside of California accurately throw a frisbee? I mean, seriously. I took it in high school, frisbee football, and I still can't throw a frisbee to save my life.
Explain to me what the rules of frisbee football are, because I have never heard of this.
It's kind of like flag football, only the football's a frisbee, and you, you know, the frisbee's the football. You throw the frisbee, and you walk a couple, you can only walk like a couple of steps, you don't like run with the frisbee, and you just have to keep throwing it to your teammates. You have to have a large team, you can't just do it with two people. But you kind of have to, like, pass the ball, so to speak, and get it across your goal line. But people can also intercept it and tag you or tackle you.
Oh, they tag you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you've got a frisbee, you could also try frisbee golf if you want less running.
And more precision.
Frisbee golf, also known as frolf, is actually strangely popular in lots of areas. We actually have a used game store up here. It's like the only independent used video game store around. But they're not just used video games. They're half used video games, half frolf.
Okay. Frolf equipment?
They've got legit, like, the chain things that you set up to fling your frisbee into, and, like, regulation frisbees and stuff like that. It's intense.
Regulation frisbees. Because, you know, the nefarious teams weight their frisbees.
Shave them slightly.
I'm not mocking professional frisbee footballers or frisbee golfers, if they're out there.
It's a little amusing. But so yeah, there's lots of things that you could do with a frisbee that aren't, you know, just sitting on a beach and throwing a frisbee at each other.
Yeah. Although that's very calming. So those are two suggestions, right?
Well,
flashlight, tag, and frisbee. Three. We're expanding. What's another one for you?
Oh, my last one is capture the flag. Because, hey, if you're doing it in Halo, why not do it for real?
That's such a fun game. It's so deadly.
True story. So, you know, if you've got a space big enough for a Nerf war, you can totally play capture the flag. And it really is kind of ridiculous and tons of fun. But, you know, if you've got a bunch of 20-something-year-olds or 30-something-year-olds playing capture the flag, I bet you're all going to feel a little bit like noobs.
Totally. The last suggestion we have is outdoor parks. And yes, we've talked about the green grassy ones, but we're talking specifically about the fun ones. Go-karts, bumper boats, and the like. No one drives, like, except in Clerks 2, there's not a lot of go-karting every day. Those guys seem to do it quite a bit. But if you've got a go-kart place in your area, that is always fun as heck. And if you've got bumper boats or any kind of activity like that, take it for a spin. It's going to give you some sun, and it's going to be fun, fun, fun.
Indeed.
And that was not rehearsed.
And that's honestly about all of the things that Casey and I could think of to do geeky and outside. Or if you have a better idea, please leave them for us in the form of comments on the D20 Radio Network forums for this particular episode, or as a comment on the website. Or heck, you could email them to us as well if you wanted to.
Steampunk, fairy universe, paintball, capture the flag. Oh, awesomeness.
God. Let's close out the show before this goes any further. If you just can't seem to get enough of our geeky goodness, there's a few places you can get in touch with us. You can find us at geekfatal.com or on the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums under the usernames Kalilia
and Being Geeky.
You can follow me at Hot Pink Joystick or add me to Raptor, Xbox Live, Steam, or PSN under username Kalilia.
And you can follow me, Casey, on Twitter at Being Geeky, and now on Facebook at facebook.com/geekyKasey. That's geeky, the letter K, the letter C. Or you can email our mailbag directly at mail@geekfatal.com. We'd love to hear your comments, answer your questions, and play your bumpers.
Also, feel free to drop us a review on iTunes and to subscribe via the iTunes Store or directly through the RSS feed on our website.
So until next time, Geek Nation, keep it sexy.
Keep it nerdy.
Keep it geek fatal.
All original textual, graphical, and audio material found on this podcast and related website are copyright Geek Fatal in affiliation with the D20 Radio Network and are intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. Such materials are the sole intellectual property of Nateel Erickson and Casey Chapman and are protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 3.0 Unported License. All names, images, sounds, and copyright material belong to their respective trademark or copyright holders.
D20 Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
Do you want to do this part here, or
I'll try, but I've been screwing them up tonight.
Are you still there?